Hey, you're Stocks from the 5 Yard Rush podcast, and you're listening to the Ballers Dynasty podcast. You're either here because you're in the league or you just got lost.
Welcome, bowlers, to the 2023 season review pod. What a season it was, and just before the dust settles on the last year, we thought we'd give you our usual review pod. This part is part one, and is the season review, and then we'll do a part two later on, focusing on last year's rookies and how all that went. So to run through it all, I've got the two originals, starting with Stommo. Hey, mate, how's things?
Hello. Pitsy, I missed your voice, mate. How are we?
I'm all good. I missed you too, buddy.
I'm still trying to catch up on my sleep from the other night, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm absolutely knackered still.
But good, yeah. So let's leave this recording until the latest time possible.
Yep.
So we get even less sleep, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I went to bed due to Josh and his diabetes about midnight last night, so that was always good, getting up at 9 a.m. after the Super Bowl and then going through till midnight and then getting woken up again at 1 o'clock because of his diabetes. So that was also really fun.
Come on, Josh.
So I thought you might as well like push it on till 10 o'clock tonight and really hammer things home on how tired we are.
Sweet.
Anyway, as always, with a stats pod, we need the stat man himself. Rob is here.
Hello.
Are you all right?
Hello. Yes. As Storm was saying, this is probably the latest I've been up for a while. Because I didn't stay up and watch the Super Bowl. I had work the next day. I did not plan ahead.
Oh, Rob, rookie highlight. Mistake,
mate. Yeah, it was. It was a coach's decision to rest for the Super Bowl.
Healthy scratch.
Healthy scratch.
You're Tony, aren't you? You're Tony.
Yeah. If there is Tony. It's a healthy scratch. Oh, fair.
Absolutely.
Glad you're here.
No, thanks for having me.
But all time. Always, mate. Always. Right then. Little housekeeping then to get back up to speed. After the first season, we had around 800 plays of the pod on by this podcast, I believe. And then after the second season, we had a huge spike, getting 1,800 plays total. Obviously, that's both seasons put together, but that's an extra 1,000 on top. Season three, we took a bit of a backseat. Wasn't that great. Had a bit of a blip anyway. But anyway, we came back strong after season four, and we are now up to about 3,116-ish plays. So do the maths yourselves.
Holy moly. You know what I've just figured out?
What have you just figured out?
Season three was the season that Rob didn't come on the pod.
Whoa. Hold your phone.
Rob's bringing in the listeners, bro. So
I think so. Nice. Well, there's only so many times that I can listen to the pod in a day. So that's nothing to do with it, honest. Yeah, I can get about 60 listens in a day. That's 1.5 speed.
All I'm saying is, looking at those figures,
yeah,
5 yards, 5 yards better watch out.
Stats.
Yeah, and 5 yards better watch out next season because, you know, the numbers don't lie.
Well, that's very true.
Very true. I mean, I am now a free agent, so if Ballers are the only ones that are taking me on, then Ballers are the only one that's taking me on. So,
well, you're always on this one, mate. No problem. Right. Good. I like that. In the off-season, I did make a very tough decision to move on from Duffer. Love him to bits, always have, but he's just been tough the last, well, all four seasons, to be fair, trying to get him playing every week. Even you, Stormer, every week you're trying to get him to set his lineup at least.
Yeah,
just
for,
like when you're trying to get someone to set the lineups, let alone try and do any waivers or any trades, it was just getting a bit too much, wasn't it? And like I say, loving to bits, would have loved him to stay on. I just wanted a bit more from him. And every season, we kind of asked for a little bit more, and we never got it. So hopefully, it was for the good of the league. And we have moved on. And we welcome our new team owner, Andy, or Youngie, depends on how he wants to go. We'll work out all that. Anyway, first decision was to move his franchise from Gotham City, and then rename them to the Young Guns.
Oh, such a good movie.
So he's done all right there, going from one little movie franchise to another. I like that. That's good. Right, let's get to it then. This is why we're here, the 2023 season review. As always, we start with a rundown of how each team got on, looking at their win-loss record, starting with the first four seasons, and then going into where their wins and losses came from. And then their four game blocks. Rob, kick us off, buddy.
Oh, I'm blue. Okay.
You, I know, I was about to say that. I'm glad you said that because I couldn't remember what colour I was.
I'm promoted. Because in the little window at the top, when like where it shows who's on the bowler's pod, Storm has got a blue circle, but you've got a red circle. So it's all really confusing. Okay, yeah, so we will start from the top. Stocks will be furious about this, but he is just going to have to listen because he's not too far down.
Exactly.
So yeah, we're four seasons in. Pitsy, he's at the top. He's our season four champion. So season one, you went 6-7, finishing fourth. So that was a playoff berth, I believe. Yes. And then 8-6, also a playoff berth, finished fourth again. And then next season improved again, 10-4, finished fourth. another playoff berth. Couldn't seem to get over that hump of finishing just outside the medal places. And this season was the difference, improved to 12-2, finishing as champ in the regular season, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
And breaking the curse and finishing in first place as well. His wins came in the following. Week one versus Thacker, week two against Ollie, week three against myself, week five against Simon, week six against Storm, week seven against Stocks, week eight against Mark, week nine against Dan, week 10 against Storm again, week 11 against me again, week 12 against Ollie. That is a huge run there from what? Is that from week five to week 12? Seven undefeated. And then a little bit of a blip in 13, but did finish off the regular season with a win against Saka in week 14. As we've just covered already, the two losses were week 13 against Simon to bring that streak to an end, and then week four against Susie as well. Here's four game blocks. When you break down those games, look like this: 3-1, 4-0, 4-0, so 8-0, and then 1-1 to top it off.
Nice.
It's the first time that we've had over 10. Oh no, we had 11 wins from Susie, didn't we? 1 year, but yeah, there was a lot to go through all of those. When I was writing this up, I was deciding whether I was going to put me first or not. But with being the champion, I thought, yeah, well, might as well get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way, mate.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah. I feel like season five is going to be a lot of this. It's going to be, oh, you know, because I'm the champion and the commissioner, you know, the double barrel. This is what we'll do.
The reigning champion, now taken I'll over. Take this. That's it. Well, no, you'll keep me reindeer, it's fine.
Of course.
To be fair, I really like looking at the four-game blocks and seeing how, especially as you go through everybody else's seasons and how they went, just seeing which way that it went and how their kind of teams were looking going forwards. But
Not anything against your team here, Pitsy, but at the start of the season, someone might have looked at your team and gone, there's a lot of backups in this team in terms of running backs, your wide receiving room, very impressive. But then there were some big injuries. So Nick Chubb went down, which obviously affected Stormo. But Jerome Ford, who we will come on to later on, you know, ended up being the lead back in that team. And as a result, made a huge difference to that room that you had. You know, you had Breece Hall in there as well. Coming back off an injury, you didn't have him last year. So your running backs came into play when they mattered. And I think that was a real reason why you got that big streak in the middle of the season there.
I think that's the biggest thing that we've said from day one, the three seasons that I came fourth. I've got the team to get me to a position where I do okay and get myself to the playoffs. But when it really matters, I've never had a running back room to kind of match my wide receivers. And like you say, this year I've managed to put something together, and actually I had a little bit of luck along the way as well, getting the kind of injuries that have helped bring my backups into starting roles. So
yeah, those stars aligned for you very nicely.
Yeah. Nice. All right, Stomo, you're up next.
So, Simon finished 8-5 in the first season, finishing fifth. Then he went 9-5, finishing fifth in the second. Then he went 10-4 in the third season, and that's the year he won. And this season, 12-2, finishing second. Wow, it's impressive that. Just the one blip there, not finishing in the top four. He got his wins in week one against me, week three against Mark, four against Thacker, six against Ollie, seven against Dan, eight against Rob, nine against Susie, 10 against Thacker, 11 against Mark, 12 versus Storm, 13 versus Pitsy, and 14 versus Rob. That was a big run there at the end. His two losses were in week two and week five against Stocks and then Pitsy. And his four game block went 3-1, 3-1. 4-0 and 2-0. So yeah, finished strong at the end there, didn't he?
Yeah, so from week five onwards, obviously he lost in week five, and then after that, there was just no looking back, was there?
Yeah, smashing it.
Yeah,
been neck and neck with Simon.
Yeah, and that's
the big players came to it and counted.
Yeah, Simon's the opposite of you though, isn't he? Where he has the running back room.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know he gained a top receiver, but until that, acquisition of that receiver, it was a bit light in the receiving department.
Funnily enough, that comes up again later on in the when we talk about how everybody kind of answered their questions and stuff. But that wide receiver that he picked up was massive for him. He kind of, as soon as he actually picked him up, he turned it on and he was getting loads of points from him. So,
and there's I think his room was also helped slightly by injuries too. J.K. Dobbins went down fairly early on, and he had Gus Edwards. He's got a very strong set of running backs, whereas I'm not saying yours aren't, Peter, but yours, I think yours had a little bit more fortune to come into play.
Oh, huge fortune,
Yeah, whereas his have been established for the last 3 or 4 years. Certainly like CMC, Barkley, Eckler. Eckler's had a down year, granted, but you got Joe Mixon in from Mark. Gus Edwards, like I said, he was very strong. And then even just players like you got Jeff Wilson and Elijah Mitchell. Damian Pierce had a down year, but again, they have more of a role than normal backups do. And I think that's a big play. And is it Jaden Reed as well? Jaden Reed, who's absolutely surprised everybody in that team. And I know a lot of people come on to him later on as a key part of that Green Bay offense. Jaden Reed, coming out. He came up with 34 points in the final, which is the highest, I think, he had of, apart from CeeDee Lamb. It was one of his highest wide receiver scores in the game where it mattered.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. It's it was a tough one from Simon though. As I said, we kind of touched on it at the end of the regular pods that we were having with the championship game and everything. We were neck and neck for everything, but that run at the end really scared me. The fact that he hadn't lost. And it kind of even beat me with its second game of the second to last game of the season. I kind of had that in the back of my mind as well, thinking, "Oh, these players are all just turning
peaking
up,
at so. The right time on there." Yeah.
So he had a right good run at the end to throw himself in there. I've actually noted this at the bottom of the little bit of a list here, but every champion has regressed the season after. Whereas Simon, even though I know he's come second, but obviously he had an impressive 12-2 season this year, so he's the only champion that hasn't dropped his win-loss afterwards.
Mm.
So he's kind of progressed after that as well. Right then, let's move on to the third place this season was Stormo. Your first ever season, you went 6-7, finishing in third against me. Perfect. Well done. Second season, absolutely smashed it. 10-4, came first, champion in your second season. Third season, went 7-7, finished at third, beating me again. and then this season, you went 7-7 again and came third. This time, you didn't have to beat me, so that was okay. Your wins came in week 2 versus Mark, 3 versus Stocks, 4 against Rob, 7 against Thacker, 8 against Dan, 9 against Ollie, 14 against Stocks. And then your losses came against Simon in week 1, Susie in week 5, Pitsy in week 6, me again in week 10. So that's a double. Love a good old double.
Mm-hmm.
11 against Thacker, 12 against Simon, 13 against Rob. Your four-game blocks look like this. They were 3-1, then went 2-2, 1-3, 1-1. So you had a bit of a great, well, you had a good start and then it kind of fizzled out, really.
Yeah, so my, as you can tell there, and I think we will speak about it a bit further down as well, where if you look at my wins and my losses, I'm pretty much, you know, bang average, if that's, you know, same. I just seem to do well in the early knockout stages. But then if you look at that four-game block, that section in the middle is where I lost Chubb, Jones, and Jefferson. And you're talking RB1, RB2, and wide receiver 1. And then got one of them back. Who knows what's going on with Chubb? And then, picked up a little bit, had a bit of luck on the waivers. But that took a massive dent out of my season. And you're talking two of those were both top five in the top five in their positions last season as well. So, yeah, it definitely hurt in the middle section of the season for sure.
Yeah, and that was one. I think that's one thing that obviously Stocks found out quite soon after getting rid of all his running backs was this, even though this season didn't quite pan out as crazy as it did last season with the running backs and how good they are compared to wide receivers, but they're still a huge part of this league, aren't they? And how much they kind of help getting your team across the line.
Yeah, there were a couple of weeks there where I didn't think I'd have a starting running back at some point because, there's that few on the waiver wire and took such a massive hit on the injuries, but yeah, got through. But yeah, it's definitely tough.
I was just looking at Davante Adams for your team. In week 3, he scored 57 points, and that was when you beat Stocks. But after week 3, he doesn't hit over 30 points until week 11. And then he only goes over 30 points 3 times after week 3. Other times he's got like 3 points, 7 points, 19 points, 11 points, just really low performing numbers. And when you're struggling at running back, you need these other players to step up, and they just didn't do it for you.
It just shows you what a massive difference losing Carr and Aaron Rodgers is when you don't have a quarterback.
Oh, huge. Yeah, huge.
Yeah. So, yeah, he took a dip.
Kelsey looked like he lost a step. Obviously, showed it again in the playoffs when it counted. Post fantasy season,
as you do.
I think there's definitely solace to take here as well. So you've got Dobbs, you've got Zay Flowers, you've got Jefferson back, you've got Sun God. Like, it's a really strong wide receiver room. It's just been dipping in and out, hasn't it? And like, the Eagles haven't performed as well as they did last year as well. Like, the Eagles' defense have just been quite poor, and that was quite a big part of your team last year.
Yeah, they were massive losses. I was actually looking at that when I was doing my list, right? Where do you think the Eagles ranked on total defense this year?
Without looking at it?
Yeah, without looking. Just spitball it.
I'm going to say lower half middle. So I'm going to say something like 18th.
Okay, so they were top five last year. They were 29th or 28th defense this year on point.
Wow.
Yeah.
That affects your offense massively as well, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Luckily, I did pick up the Browns, who performed quite well. But yeah, last year the Eagles were a set in my lineup. I didn't even worry about another defense. Mm-hmm. And this year they were set on my bench once I picked up the Browns because they just weren't scoring points.
Yeah, that hurts. That's big time.
Well, when you got Matt Patricia coming in as your defensive coordinator, then you know you're asking for trouble. But he's gone now, so you know you may well be.
You might bounce back next year.
Yeah, look at another set defense in that lineup.
Oh, sure.
Right then, Stobo, we're kind of mixing things up again. Back to you again.
Oh yeah, because Rob can't talk about himself because he's
no, I can't.
So Rob's first season was 5-8, and he finished 9th. Second season, 8-6, and finished 3rd. 7th in the 3rd, finishing 5th, and 5-9 in the 4th season, finishing 4th. He got his wins against Susie in week 1, Ollie in week 7, Susie in week 10, double over Susie, take that. 12 against, week 12 against Thacker, and 13 against me. He lost against Dan in week 2, Pitty in week 3, Storm in week 4, Thacker in week 5, Mark in week 6, Simon in week 8, Stocks in 9, and Pitty in 11. And his four game block looked like this: 1-3, 1-3, 2-2, and 1-1.
Hey, it was that streak, that little two game winning streak at the end that got me in the playoffs.
You took a big chunk there in the middle, didn't you? 3, 4, yeah. 5, 6, all losses.
But those two games was where my team was the weakest because I'd done all those trades. I'm just like, ah, fuck it, I'm leaving the league. And then just decided to make all these trades and then actually just had to stick my best players in, had to stick the rest of my players in, and they did brilliantly. So
yeah, I performed your rankings those last couple of weeks all the time, didn't you? Blew your predicted score out of the water.
I had to think about it. Like someone mentioned earlier on that the projections weren't matching up with how the teams were doing. They were like, they were just a little bit too slow to change. So I had to be ready to think about it. And it worked out in my favour.
I was going to say, you pulled it out of the bag, so fair play.
Although next year, I'm going to have to face the top 6 again, the top 5 again. So has it really paid into my favour? Another 5-9 season.
Well, I was looking at those scores that you got every season, and obviously season 1 you went 5-8 and finished 9th, but then this season you went 5-9 but finished 4. Like there's a huge difference between places there, but I think that's how the league was this year. The league was so close in that middle section where everybody was all beating each other, so the scores weren't always as high as they have been.
We've always said it,
that shows the difference. I was going to say, it shows the difference between finishing 6th and getting to the playoffs and finishing 7th and finish out the playoffs. Because I think I finished 7th in the first season, lost the semi-final, and then ended up beating Ollie.
Back when we had the old school ruling of the shitball, didn't we?
Yeah.
It just shows that anything can happen. Obviously, you and Cy were like miles above everyone else, but if you get in that playoffs, it's anybody's game, man, really. And I think Rob proves that, doesn't it?
Yeah, the same with Thacker last year. He kind of sneaks into 6th and then comes 2nd, doesn't he? So, brilliant.
We'll see what happens next year.
Yeah, man. Everything to play for still. Everyone's on 0-0.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to Stocks. So Stocks took over from the He Who Should Not Be Named after season 1. Came in season 2. His first year, he finished 3-11 after having an absolute fire sale of his team and wanted to try the rebuild, and finished 9th. His next season, season 3, he finished 6-8, and he finished 8th, so one place improvement. And then next season, he finished comfortably in the playoffs with 9-5 and finished 5th. So there is a steady improvement going on here with Stocks. His wins came in the following. Week 2 against Simon. Could have been an early sign there. That was a big game against the champion. Week 4 against Ollie, week 5 against Dan, week 6 against Susie, week 8 against Thacker, week 9 against myself, week 10 against Ollie again, so the double there, week 12 against Mark, and week 13 against Susie, so a second double. The losses came week 1 against Mark, so actually maybe losing to Mark in week 1. Losing, you know, maybe this
it's weird that losing week 1 against Mark, but then we beating Simon week 2.
Yeah. Oh, what a turnaround. Week 3 against Storm. straight away after that. But losing to the former champ, so no, not too bad. Then losing week 7 against Pitsy and week 11 against Dan. The four-game blocks work out as follows. 2-2, 3-1, 3-1, and 1-1.
Yeah, that middle section really kind of brought him back into the mix and cemented his third place in the regular season.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, so yeah. That run was ace, and then he was definitely beaming and happy compared to his normal miserable self.
I say it's a bit of a learning curve, isn't it? To learn like the score in the league, and I think this year was probably the first year that he's looked at his scouting, because he's very good at college scouting, and gone, well, these players, if they come in, they'll be the best ones to get. So like Achan. Like big surprise for everyone that he took him. Jameer Gibbs as well had a really good season. Calvin Ridley was very hot and cold for him as well, so that might have been something that held him back in some weeks. I actually look back and think that Calvin Ridley might have been the difference in some of these games, you know, getting like 2 points rather than the 34 he got in the last week that he played.
When he was hot, but as you say, when he was cold.
And then losing Mark Andrews towards the end of the season, but having Sam Laporta being, you know, rookie tight end one, really good fill in there.
Yeah, that tight end, huge, obviously, loss, as you say, losing Andrews, but the fact that you're getting yourself not just a fantastic rookie, but the best tight end of the season, really, wasn't it? So,
yeah,
he did bloody good.
And we just need to watch him next year, because he's going to have some very experienced, very, very good players who hopefully can stay healthy and keep his team consistent.
Yeah. And now he kind of hopefully understands the league a lot more now. And obviously, drafting wise, he's going to help himself out, especially with everything that he's already picked up already. So Watch out. Watch this space. Dark horse coming through. Right, move on to Susie. She went 6-7 in the first season, but with the old playoff rules, it meant that she ended up losing all her games in the Pooh Bowl and came 10th. Then in season 2, she went 11-3, highest scoring in that season, but came 2nd. 8-6 in her third season, coming 6th, and then 8-6 again, coming 6th this season. Her wins this year were week 2 against Thacker, 4 against me, 5 against Storm, 7 against Mark, 8 against Ollie, 11 against Ollie, a double there, 12 against Dan, and 14 against Mark again. Losses in week 1 against Rob, 3 against Dan, 6 against Stocks, 9 against Simon, 10 against Rob, a double against you, and then 13 against Stocks as well, so that's a double there too. 4 game blocks. 2-2, 3-1, 2-2, 1-1. So a little all over the place, really.
This is the first year that she had Josh Allen as well. And Josh Allen came up with some massive scores this year. But then he also had some, like,
stinkers as well.
I think looking at this, something that is really impressive about Susie's team is her running back room as well. Like, it could almost rival Simon's in terms of how well it did this year, but the names aren't as big. So Tony Pollard, Rashad White came out of nowhere in terms of his performances. Devin Singletary came out of nowhere as well for the Texans. Like, you thought it'd be Pierce. No, it was Singletary. James Cook as well had a great year. Rashawn Johnson got caught in a big committee, but still came away without any dirt on his face. And then AJ Dillon had some good weeks when Jones wasn't in as well. Like, that's a decent running back room for this year. But I think it's just such a shame that Puka Nacua, you know, got votes for Rookie of the Year in the end of year awards, but then Stephon Diggs and Courtland Sutton just let it down.
Two players that you kind of think going into the season should have had a boost.
Jordan Anderson had a nice mid-season boost, but then Justin Jefferson came back, and that was disappointing. Gabe Davis, underwhelming once again. Chris Godwin did all right, but Adam Thielen, you'd have thought that he would have been.
He started off quite nicely at the Panthers, but
much more effective later on in the season. You know, when the chemistry got there, but it just seemed to get worse and worse.
Odd.
I like a Buccaneers defense. I thought that was a good pickup as well. I'm just looking at a final week. Bryce Young still sat in a taxi squad with 50 points in the final week. But when you've got Josh Allen,
you're not going to start Bryce, are you?
You're not starting Bryce Young.
Fair play. I take my hat off to you too with your the trade that you made, because both looking back at the season now worked out for both of you really nicely.
What, myself and Susie?
Yeah, you know, the Harris, White, was it Herbert and...
Herbert and Allen, yeah.
Allen swap, yeah.
Yeah, I think it turned out, in hindsight, it turned out a lot better for Susie. But I would still stand by that trade now. Like, I think Herbert's been let down a little bit. And Harris has come up against what seems to be a superior runner in Warren. But they've got Arthur Smith as the OC now. So that might actually help out Harris more.
Yeah.
You'd hope.
I would hope so.
Yeah. I'd hope so too. Right then, Stormo. Give us Thacker's rundown.
So, half a flip and flop. I can't remember who's who. Season 1, 7-6, finishing 6th. Season 2, 4-10, finishing last. Season 3, 6-8, finishing 2nd. And season 3, 4, 5-9, finishing 7th. He got wins against Ollie in week 3, Rob in week 5, Dan in week 6, Storm in week 11, and Dan again in week 13. Losses against Pitty in week 1, Susie in week 2, Simon in week 4, Storm in week 7, Stocks in week 8, Mark in 9, Simon in 10, Rob in 12, and Pitty in 14.
Bookended her.
Yeah. Mm. So his four game blocks look like this: 1-3, 2-2, 1-3, 1-1.
Oofed. Tough season.
I'm just having a look through his team.
He was close to sneaking in again.
Yeah. That 7-8-9 though, 10, I don't think helped him, did it? One or two more wins there, I think he would have been a bit more comfortable. But yeah, that took a shot on the chin.
I think it's a real transition season for Thacker. I think it was a real transition season because there were some big trades that happened, and there were some players that didn't leave the team that maybe should have left the team. So like Derrick Henry is still on Thacker's team at the end of this year, and we don't know what's going to happen with him. And Raheem Mostert, I know he came in this year, but he's getting on a bit as well. James Conner, he's still there as well. He's in his seventh season now. He's age 28. You know, they're reaching like the cliff. You'd expect running back production to dip a little bit. Dalvin Cook as well. But then he's also got like some really young players as well. He's got some young players dotted in there. So he's got Trey McBride. He's got Chigakonkwo. He's got Isaiah Pacheco. There's like a real mix. And I think maybe this offseason is going to really help Thacker because he can decide what direction he's going to go. And it might be that he does move these experienced players on for some picks and someone else gets 1 year out of him, one last season out of them.
Yeah, free agency in March will hopefully help not just Tacker but quite a few teams with their kind of decision making.
Yeah, I think having Metcalf and Lockett on the same team as well, that might be something he wants to rectify this offseason as well. What?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, free agency is going to play a big part in next season to see where some of these, you know, big names go. And you only need one person to go to the wrong team and screw you up anyway. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
But nice. Equally, right, you only need one person to go to the right team.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and
yeah,
you need to start smart yourself out.
Oh, sure.
Exactly.
Okie dokie.
Right, so give us Dan then, Rob.
We have got Dan, our season one champion with 10-3. After that, it kind of went downhill a little bit. Sorry, Dan. Season two, he went 9-5 and finished sixth. With season three, 5-9, oof, finished in ninth. And then this last season, finished 5-9 again, finishing eighth. But we know if you can finish 5-9, you can also finish fourth. So again, it was just the luck of the draw on that one. The wins this season came in week two against me, week three against Susie, week four against Mark, week 11 against Stocks, and week 14 against Ollie. His losses came in week one against Ollie. So Ollie, did Ollie? Oh, we'll come to it anyway. But that, I mean, Ollie, it was gunning for the moon there after that game.
Yeah.
Week five was his next loss against Stocks. Week six against Thacker. Week seven against Simon. Week eight against Storm. Week nine against Pitsy. Week 10 against Mark, week 12 against Susie, and week 13 against Thacker. So Thacker got a double in the flip and flop bowl. The four game block, 3-1, 0-4, 1-3, and 1-1. That second block of four, that is a tough streak to take.
Out.
It was, I mean, the fact that he went 3-1 to start the season, like, gave him false hope, because then week 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, all losses. That really stung him big time. And he just couldn't get out of the funk, could he?
No.
I'm just having a look at his team right now, and a very brief look. He has got three players on the Atlanta Falcons. And we know what happened to the coach, right, don't we? That is a problem right there. So he's got Algier, who obviously has taken a backseat to Bijan now. But he's also got Kyle Pitts and he's got Drake London. And Arthur Smith drove that team into the ground in terms of the passing game. And then also didn't use his best players in the running game. So Algier actually did fairly well. No one else did well. And I think now with Arthur Smith out the door, I think there's a really good chance that these players bounce back.
Yeah, interesting to see how the Falcons turn up, because the Falcons last season were supposed to be turning up.
They need a QB, man. That's their problem. They need a QB.
Yeah.
I remember watching the draft when Ridley got drafted, and when it was announced that he got drafted and he was going to the Falcons, you could see on his face he wasn't excited. He wasn't excited to go. He almost like sighed, and you know, when they put the hat on, because he was at home. It wasn't the first round, it was like the second or third round.
Like,
he sighed and put the hat on. He was like, oh, great.
Yeah. I wish we would see, you know, that episode of Friends where Joey gets the award, or he doesn't get the award, and he starts to say, fuck, man.
Oh, yeah, it's great. A lovely contribution.
Stuff like that, that'd be ace.
Yeah.
Have you practiced your gracious face? Oh, yes, I've practiced my gracious face.
Because I bet some players do that, you know, like all smiles and things, and like as soon as the cameras off, motherfucker, what the hell? I don't want to get
Throws his cap on the floor.
he was being told he was going somewhere else before, and it's like, oh yeah, it's the Falcons have come in with a last minute offer, and you're going to the Atlanta. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, why did I answer the phone?
But he's got Brock Purdy, Like, he's got Brock Purdy as his quarterback, who, again, we watched the Super Bowl. I watched the highlights, but we watched the Super Bowl. And if you get pressure to Purdy, he does struggle because he's a young guy. You never know. San Francisco might do something to help him out there, but I think that might also be an area that Dan might want to look at in the offseason, because he's got Tommy DeVito, and that's it.
Funny you should say that, because he had originally Lamar Jackson, and then I traded Lamar Jackson for myself. I wanted Lamar Jackson, so he ended up getting Kyler Murray and CD Lamb in the trade, and I got Lamar in the first, I think that was the trade, something like that. Obviously, this season he traded away. Was it this season he traded away Kyler Murray?
Yeah, to start.
Was that the last season?
Did, yeah.
And then he obviously traded away CD Lamb as well. So
I can see when he.
Lots going on.
It was the 14th trade in 2023. So Dan got a 2025 first round in exchange for Kyler Murray, and a 2025 third round.
There you go.
Well, he's got a decent pick, and there's apparently a generational quarterback coming through. Just depends who takes him.
Yeah, it just depends on where you want to.
Yeah, maybe he'll take maybe he'll go to the Falcons.
Quarterback.
Fuck.
Sorry, Arthur Smith's not there. He's at the Steelers now.
Yeah.
He can break either Tannehill or Justin Fields instead.
Funny.
Right, we'll move on to Mark.
Tannehill, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be there. Fields or Tannehill, I think, are two big names that have been kind of bandied about for the Steelers. So I say big.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark, first season, 4-9 in seventh. Second season, 7-7. He upgraded himself, finished seventh. Then he dropped back to 5-9, finished last. 5-9 this season, finished ninth. So all in all,
Mark's
done some crap work. Right, this season his wins when he won the first game of the season against Stocks, then lost a few. So then his second win of the season was in week 5 against Ollie, then week 6 against Rob, 9 against Thacker, 10 against Dan. Losses this season were week 2 against Storm, 3 against Simon, 4 against Dan, 7 against Susie, 8 against Pitsy, 11 against Simon, 12 against Stocks, 13 against Ollie, and 14 against Susie. His four game blocks look like this: 1-3, a 2-2-2-2, 0-2. Like that 2-2-2-2 in the middle.
Like that.
2-2, 2-2, and 0-2 to finish off. So it's just mediocre all the way through, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I think Mark also struggles in the wide receiver department because he's got a fairly strong running back department, but you just can't seem to get it together.
No, I can't really put my finger on it, because every season we say, oh, well, he starts off well, or he does this, that, and the other, and he's got a team that if together on paper they pull it out of the bag, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And then nothing happens.
I almost feel as though Mark's team, a good analogy would be where you've got a banger of a car, isn't it? It's like an old banger, and you get a part of it fixed, and you're like, oh, great, I've got these fixed. And then another part of it falls off, and it's like you're just trying to pull things together, and then like another bit falls off. So, like, his running back room has improved. So, Jaylen Warren, great, Travis Etienne, great, Bijan Robinson will be great, but then Terry McLaurin dips down, DJ Moore gets a duff quarterback in Fields. The rest of the room, Jerry Jeudy just falls off a cliff as well. Rashad Bateman gets crowded out with wide receivers at Baltimore. Treylon Burks gets injured. Jameson Williams gets suspended for gambling, you know, and misses half a year. And then, like, it's Titans as well, like Dalton Kincaid. Again, really good, really good. Cole Kmet has cooled off. Noah Fant has chilled out as well.
Yeah.
And then Greg Dulcich, you know, gets injured very early on again, you know, potentially kills Denver's season in week one. So I think Bart just needs to get a break. He just needs to cut, like, get a break, and I think he just finds it very difficult to make those changes. Like, it's like, this is my team, and if something goes wrong with the team,
through season, yeah,
eventually it'll be fine, but not right now. It almost get like knocks it further down the line.
It's as though he kind of needs to do a full remodel, doesn't he? But you kind of really need to keep the running backs in his. Like I said, he's got a strong, like you say, young, strong running back room. It's then trying to upscale his wide receivers and, well, everything else really, isn't it? So, and like you say, a bit of luck along the way, and he might start pulling things out of the bag.
I think one thing we definitely know for sure is that he's got two banging defenses, and when he puts one in, the other one goes off.
Yeah, so you just know which one not to choose.
I love that. I think maybe he just needs to. I mean, could it be the first instance of a trading a defense in our league? Because someone will take the 49ers, someone will take the Cowboys. Guaranteed, like they will give you a decent amount of points every week.
I thought about it, to be honest with you, when obviously Philadelphia was on their slump, and I wasn't sure what the Browns were going to do. I thought about going in for one, but like what do you offer for a defense? A third?
Exactly, it'd be uncharted territory.
Exactly.
But I think if you are looking to help him improve in other areas, then it might be players that you offer for that.
Yeah. True. Too true.
I mean, he's got enough early picks as it is, so maybe picks wouldn't help him out as much. Maybe would be players.
Yeah. Maybe instead of going after the rookies, it's time he kind of looked in the league and went, right, well, I'll give you this pick and this pick or whatever, and I'll take you really good players and bolster your squad like that instead.
Mm. Because we know that's what one of our former champions has done. You know, Simon came on the show and said, I'm getting rid of my picks, I'm getting the players. That's how he got CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Got himself a championship doing it last year. Got himself a minus a point away from winning the championship this year. So, something to think about.
There's a few players in this league who mainly just consider, right, this is the time for me to do a rebuild. It might be a time to cut fast and loose with doing trades. And I'm not saying this is not an invitation for them to do it, but I'm open to trades. And I think of the last six trades in the league, I'm just going to count 1, 2, 3, 4. Of the last five trades in the league, I've done 4 of them.
Should be Mr. Trade Man, not Mr. Stat Man.
Yeah.
I think it's just making moves, because that's a way to make your team better. If you're not sure which way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. Right then, Stormer finishes off.
Ollie. So, Ollie, 3-10, finished 8th in season 1. 1-13 in season 2 and finished 9th. 6-8 in season 7. So, there was a glimmer of hope. 6-8 in season 3, finished 7th. 2-12 in season 4 and finished 10th. So, you got a 7, 8, 9, and 10. You got a win in week 1 against Dan, and week 13 against Mark, and every other week he lost. I'm not even going through that. His 4-game block was 1-3, 0-4, 0-4, 1-1.
I think that's quite the opposite to how mine went. I went 3-1, 4-0, 4-0, 1-1. Yeah,
exact opposite. Yeah.
Complete mirror. Opposition. Yeah, that's good.
Thing is, Ollie has got a good team. Like, he's got Brian Robinson, he's got Kenneth Walker, he's got like some decent wide receivers. He didn't put quarterback in the game he played against Dan, but he's got Herbert and Burrow on the bench. I think his bench suffers quite a bit. You know, his bench is letting himself down. But I think the way to rectify that is be involved. You know, do the trades, do the waivers, you know, make those lineup changes. And I think That'd be step one for Youngie. It's just getting this team sorted out by being involved in those areas.
I mean, he's proved already as Youngie that he's actually going to be active. The fact, I mean, I know he's put out some crazy trades to some people, but it's the way you learn, isn't it? But and also the fact that he's been part of the WhatsApp chat as well is mm-hmm. huge. That already miles ahead of what Ollie was doing in the league. So
yeah, it's nice to have a vocal Chiefs fan in the group, isn't it?
Yeah, come on, Mark, pull your finger out.
But that's no, that I mean that's it's like it's definitely not in a bad way. Like he's got the passion of a football fan that he's brought to the group, and like that's it's matching a lot of the energy. In some areas, it's like exceeding the energy that's in the group, and it's something we haven't had for a while in that group. It's not since Lee was there spouting shit about Brady.
Yeah, I love that.
It's nice to have a bit of pep back in it.
Yeah, man. Bye. No, we appreciate it.
Yeah, so we can onwards and upwards. I think we can only get better, really. So, you know, although he's a Chiefs fan and we don't need any more of those bloody things in this group, but it's at least he's a vocal one, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, like I say, the beginning of the thing, obviously, it was a hard decision to take Ollie out, but for hopefully, for the good of the league, bringing Youngie in is can only be good for the league. Right, let's quick. This has been a big pod, so we'll rattle through these last bits. I reckon we'll save the questions for the review pod of the rookies, right. If that's all right. Right then, so.
Yeah.
Everyone's all-time record. I thought we'd go through this quickly. Duffer, he finished his four seasons on 12-43. So you can see right there that things weren't great. Stocks only coming in three seasons in, already had more wins than Duffer. He finishes his third season on 18-24. Then it's Mark, a few wins ahead of 21-34. Then it's Thacker with 22-33. And then Rob on 25-30. So those bottom five are all in there slightly negative. So then we go into the positives. So Dan just hanging on after his rough finishing seasons, 29-26. Stormo in fourth on 13-25. Susie sneaking into third with 33-22. And then it's me in second on 36-19, with a strong Simon 39-16 to be the all-time record right now.
I think so that's interesting. How close Susie's been a few times. Like it shows how close Susie's been. Being third when first, second, fourth, and fifth have both won all won championships, and she's there with four more wins than
in mix. Yeah.
You know, well, three more wins and another champion as well. Like, she has been close.
Yeah, just as I said, it just shows you how average mine has been, as you know, but with better luck, maybe better finishes, and then, yeah, better a knockout, early knockout stages, we'll say.
Yeah, because you've always had really low playoff starts, haven't you? But come third three times and first once, you just kind of entered the playoffs lower down rather than kind of cementing your place, really. Haven't you?
Yeah. Snuck in a couple of times.
Snuck in, yeah. Right, Rob, we'll go on to everyone's highest score this season.
So, highest score, we will start with the person who scored the most at the top. So that is Simon scored 458 points in week four against Thacker. And then the only other person to score over 400 points. Well, actually, is that right?
Yeah.
No, that's not
right.
So you were the only other person to score over 400 points this year, and that was 402 points when you beat Simon in week five.
So I needed a big score to get him.
You certainly did. Stocks then came third with a score of 393, and that was in his week eight win against Saka. Then it was myself with 1 point behind in 392 when I beat Susie in week 10. Thacker got 390 in his week three win against Ollie. And then we see the points drop down a little bit more. So Storm got 378 in week three against Stocks. Susie got 375 in week two against Thacker. Thacker's been taking a pasting. That's three of the top seven. Dan got 362 against Stocks in week five, but he lost that game. So he lost with 362, his biggest score against Stocks. And Mark got 337 in his week five win against Ollie. So that was three week five games where three people got their top score.
Yeah. That's big.
Big bye. Was that the non-bye week as well, or was that a bye week?
Remember that was the first bye week. Yeah, I think it was the first bye week, wasn't it? And then coming in the bottom, Ollie got 295 points when he lost against Pitsy in week two.
That's his biggest game. The fact that he didn't even make 300. We talk about it every year. Now, I say this, we talk about this every year, but everyone else got their highest scores right up there in the 300s. And it made me laugh because, Rob, when you said, oh, we're going to go kind of drop down the points a little bit, and we got to Storm, who was 6th highest, but still 378. We've got some huge scores this season. Absolutely massive, haven't we? And everybody's got a good high score. I kind of wanted to add as well that Stocks was our lowest highest scorer last season, and he only managed to get 303 as his largest score last year. But then you look at then this season, he's added 90 points onto it to get his score this year. So it can be done, and kind of that's kind of more towards, I say Ollie, it's now Youngie, isn't it? So the fact that you can upgrade your team, there's plenty of scope there, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, Storm, our lowest scoring game this season.
Okay, lowest scoring games this year. Ollie, 173 in a week 11 loss against Susie. Saka. Saka with 177 in week 7 against me. Mark, 191 week 7 against Susie, loss. Rob, 195 week 5 against Thacker, loss. Dan, 206 week 10 against Mark, loss. Stocks, 216 week 11 against Dan, a loss. Susie, 218 week 1 against Rob or Ron, a loss.
I don't know who Ron is.
Ron Weasley.
232 week 4 against Susie, loss. Storm, 239 week 8, Dan win, and then Simon 245 week 3 against Mark with a win.
So Storm and Simon, you both ended up getting your lowest scores, but you managed to get a win with it. So
yeah, take that.
That's pretty good going.
Mm.
There's some really low scores this year as well. After having some absolutely mega high scores, we got some really low scores too. The fact that we had 4 teams all go under 200 points. Big.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Right then. We always talked about that. Like I said, we've just spoken about the 300 point games and kind of having that marker as trying to get to 300 and you're more likely to win. Of my 12 wins, 11 were over 300 points. But I ended up getting 12 over 300 points, one of which was over 400 points. So I got 12 games of 300 or more. Simon, he got 10 games of 300 points or more, one of which was over 400. Then it goes down to Susie. She got 8 games over 300. Thacker was next with 7 games. Rob with 6 games. Stocks with 6 games. Stormer, you only got 5 games over 300 points. Dan got 4 games over 300. Mark got 2 games over 300, and Ollie got a massive, big fat zero on his. Yeah, so not great, which is probably why he was last.
Well, to finish, what was that? 6 out of 10 on 5 games over 300 and finish third. I'll take that as a win.
Yeah, big time.
But if you look at that, me and Rob had 6, I had 5. Stocks, Thacker, and Susie all had more
well, Stocks was the same as Rob, all had more 300 games and obviously finished lower. So, yeah, that's pretty decent there.
Yeah, you had a majority of your big games, not well, under 300, but you were still scoring solid points rather than kind of having weaker games. So you obviously came up against other teams that were scoring low too. So
yeah, and like I said before, Thacker came up against three people who had their best games. So what? And it all scored over 300 points. So Susie got 375, Stotts got 393, Simon got 458. Thacker got seven games over 300. So if he comes up against a team that performs poorly, that 5-9 record becomes 8-6.
Yeah.
And that's comfortably in the playoffs, you know. So Thacker's been absolutely...
Look at the draw. It's been horrible for Thacker, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he finished in second last season, so obviously got a top of the top five games. So maybe that's working in the league's favour to try and mix things up again. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right then, we'll finish. Oh no, we've got a couple of extra things. Then I kind of put the max. You know, was it like last season or the year before, Rob? We kind of went and looked at if you put your max points that you could have scored minus your actual points scored, and it kind of left you with how many points you've left on your bench. Well, had a quick run through that.
Slightly bigger, so I can actually see it.
You can read it. Yes, yeah. It's a picture. It's a screenshot, guys. It's a screenshot. I apologize.
So, what we can see here is that Pitsy and Simon were the most effective team players. They left the least points on the bench. So, you left 429 points on your bench. So, you were the best. You were the most effective manager and playing your best players.
Thank you. That's what I got. Championship, baby. Simon.
Yeah. Literally 7 points in it. It's been close between you all season, and this is a good case. Been even very, this, very close. Yeah. The next person was me with 479 points. So I was the third most effective manager, which could explain why I was overshooting my projections quite a bit, because I was keeping the players in the team who scored the most points. And then looking at this, there's quite a few players who are around the 500 mark. So Storm, you've got 521. Then it's Dan with 542. Thacker with 546. Stocks with 565. And then Susie, surprisingly, in eighth place with 641 points left on the bench, which, you know, that could have been a difference between getting some wins as well. And then Ollie with 749. And Mark was, for the second year running, the least effective manager by leaving 809 points on his bench over the course of the season.
And most of that was to add the defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because probably the big D's been ruining him, hasn't it?
Okay, yeah. sell one of those defenses and then you could be zooming up those charts.
That's it. Right, Stormo, we're going to finish off on the high scoring players. Have you got that stat in your system? Yeah.
So now we're talking the Mr. Big Stuff. Mr. Big Stuff. And the Champions of the Week. Well, we're just going to mix them all up. So I've asked you guys not to cheat and see if we can see if you can name the top five in each position. There were a few surprises on here for me looking while I was writing this down. So yeah, let's see. Let's start with quarterbacks.
Can we work together?
You can work together, yeah. Top scoring quarterback.
Lamar.
I think that was Allen, wasn't it?
Yeah, Josh Allen, 904 points. Jackson.
I think I remembered that from the We Are the Champions last time round.
So, yeah, Jackson was fourth with 769 points.
Oh, so we got two out of two there that are well done.
Is Herbert on there?
Herbert is not on there.
Okay, because he got injured
towards the end of the season, so.
Yeah. Jared Goff.
Goff not on the list.
Wow.
Dak. Okay.
Dak is in second with 835 points. So you need 3 and 5.
Mahomes.
761 points. You need number 3.
I bet it's going to be someone like Stroud, isn't it?
No, not on the list.
Is Jordan Love on? Jordan Love's not on there. He's 6 to 8.
Hurts.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, 829 points. So Cy had the second and third top scoring quarterbacks with a matter of 6 points difference. So that was a Cowboys Niners issue, I'm guessing there. Not a massive issue, but either one would have got you some points. But yeah, those are your top five. Allen, Dak, Hurts, Gatson, and Mahomes. Okay, let's go. Running back.
CMC,
obviously. Easy to that one at the top.
CMC 731, over 100 and say 10 points higher than the next person.
Breece Hall.
Hall, number 4, 602.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice,
he scored
nice.
Well for me.
Jerome Ford.
Nope, not on the list.
Ah. Tyron Williams.
Nope, not on the list. Injured.
Cook?
Nope.
This one's a lot harder.
two of them were part of a trade this season.
Harris?
Oh,
not the same trade. White, 605 points, number 3.
Tyche Spears.
I'll be one that guy. No, not on the list. Both used to be owned by Mark. Mark only owns one of them now.
Travis Etienne.
Etienne number 2, 614 points.
Who did he get rid of this season?
Wow. Wow. Joe Mixon.
Mixon number 5, 582 points, who Sinai owns. Okay. That was a tough one. That one surprised me a lot. Yeah. So, moving on to wide receivers. Top scoring wide receiver this year?
CD.
Hill.
Lamb. Hill. Lamb number 1, 576. Hill number 2, 538.
Then there was, who else was on the top spots?
Amon Ra.
Amon Ra number 3,
473. Puka.
Puka number 4, nice. 440. Oh,
we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Who's 5? Who's 5?
I had some big games early on. Big games.
Tank Dell?
No, not on the list.
We had some big games early on.
Big games.
That's a big game all around, but yeah, it's a couple of big games near the start.
What division?
I don't know.
tell us his team then.
The Eagles.
Oh,
AJ Brown.
AJ Brown, 410 points, number 5. Okay, so we'll move on to tight ends. Who was number 1?
Laporte.
Laporte number 2.
Wasn't it my guy? He got injured right at the end. What's his name?
Hockenson.
Yeah, that's the one. Thanks.
Hockenson, number 3, 370.
So he was on it. It can't be Kelsey. It was rubbish all season.
Kelsey, number 4, 366.
God, Andrews.
Not on the list.
Oh, that's a surprise.
Well, Pitsy, who did I have to play back-to-back? As in, put your tight ends together.
Titans together. Who was your other tight end? I don't know.
Oh, isn't Njoku on there?
Njoku number 5, 326. You're missing number 1.
Missing our number 1 tight end.
Yeah, and just threw me as well.
Well, who does he play for?
Well, he's my other tight end. I've got Kelsey. He used to play for the Giants.
Darren Waller.
He used to play for the Giants.
Oh, is he playing for the Chargers now?
Nope.
Oh, no. Did he go to the Patriots?
Jaguars?
Yeah, that's what I said. Did he go to the Jaguars?
Ingram.
Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram, tight end number 1, 400 points.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That threw me. So, defenses.
Niners, Cowboys.
Cowboys are 4 with 556 points.
Browns.
Browns number 2, 593 points.
Chiefs.
Nope.
Sorry, Dan.
Texans.
Nope. Dan really thinks they suck.
It's
Miami.
Jets number 3, 570. So you're missing number 1 and number 5.
Number 5.
Dan Miami really not on the list. Yeah, we've already got the Jets. Jets suck.
You've got it, yeah. So same division as Pitsy's team.
Ravens. Browns?
No, Ravens.
Yeah, Ravens, number 1, 604. And then same division as the Patriots.
Bills.
The Bills, number 5, 556. Yeah. Okay, so kickers will just have a guess at top kicker, or because kickers will be here all night.
Booker
number 5.
Booker didn't miss many kicks, did he? Aubrey?
Aubrey number 1, 218 points.
Not in the Super Bowl, they won.
And then you've got the goat of cook kickers that are still playing.
Tucker.
Tucker number 2. And then Elliot number 4, 191, missing number 3.
Who's
Moody?
He play for?
No. Plays not Moody, he was 8, I think. Plays for the Dolphins, I think.
Is that Jake? Yeah. No, Jake Elliott's the Eagles. Yeah, that guy.
Sanders.
Yeah, flip and flop.
Jason Sanders.
Yeah, a couple of surprises on there, isn't there?
Love that. Right. Well, thank you for that. I enjoyed that.
That was a good one.
Me too.
Good champions of the week and year. Bumper edition of the pod for you there, and we'll dive into the, as I said, the questions that we had in our rookies pod to finish our season review off as well. I think
nice, good to hear your guys' voices again.
Yeah, you and too.
Well, yeah.
And then it's only about another 9 months till we get to watch some football again.
Yeah, it's not too far away. It's now 8 months. It's okay. You've got less one month there.
Okay, you're in February, man. Yeah, you're right. Happy Valentine's Day tomorrow, people.
Oh, yeah. Happy
Pancake Day everyone. Today.
Yeah, pancakes were banging.
Pancake Day was much better than Valentine's.
Did you also see that Bradford City and Halifax won tonight as well?
Oh, yeah, 4-0. Whoop!
Did Wrexham win? I forgot Paul was on tonight.
Couldn't care less.
Boy, dude, come on.
1-2-1.
Get in, you little dragon biscuit.
Biscuits.
Oh, biscuits. Amelie says that all the time. It's so funny. I don't know if I was driving the other day and I went, oh, ball bags. And then Amelie said that. And then she was playing Fall Guys on the other day and thing and got eliminated and she went, oh, ball bags.
Oh, dear.
Love it.
At least it wasn't the other way. So that's the worst thing.
That's true. We'll take that. Take that as a win.
Now, what you need to start doing now is you need to start transitioning to less offensive words. So it's like, oh, beanbags, and then like get some little beanbags, and then you know, so you start like transitioning away because it's not what you say; it's how you say it.
Yeah, I'm going to try that, mate. Anyways, team, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Until next time. Ball bags, low hanging ballers.